Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 22. I came up here last night and our teenagers were up here worshiping the Lord, praising God. Brandon was preaching his guts out to these young people about the 22nd Psalm. It was beautiful, and God was working powerfully. And then I understand that all the high school guys cleaned the whole church without any complaining. Isn't that awesome? Don't we appreciate them doing that? They vacuumed everything, cleaned it all up. We're so grateful for these guys and all that they've done. And the great weekend that they've had, our teenagers and leaders. By the way, there's a lot of sacrifice went into a D-Now weekend. I want you to know your investment into the hearts and lives of these teenagers is to me like gold. It's a great. They say the stock market's up right now, but I tell you, there's nothing more up than young people that are loving Jesus and living for Christ and learning about His ways, because the greatest force on planet Earth is the gospel of Jesus going forward in the lives of people, and that's what this weekend was all about. So, folks, if you hosted students, you led out, you were here all weekend, you helped with other things like the food and things like that, I just want to tell you personally, thank you for that investment. Can we thank all of our leaders? What a blessing. We're in Genesis chapter 22. We have all kinds of people here at North Central, and all people are welcome here. Every ethnicity, every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single. Some are married. Some have been married for a long time, and some just got married. Some have kids. Some don't have kids. Many here today and many watching us today are believers in Jesus, but not all. But we're all sitting here because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life we don't understand. Now, our Lord compels North Central Baptist Church to share Jesus Christ and make disciples who will in turn make other disciples, and because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded His church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is, say it with me, wonderful. The book of James says that we are to count it all joy when you encounter various trials or various tests, knowing that the testing of our faith produces patience. We are to let patience have its perfect work, that we may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing, James chapter 1, verses 3 and following says. Now, when it says perfect, it means mature. You can't have maturity in Christ without a challenge and a test. Well, can I tell you this? Today's message is Abraham's test of faith. This is one of the most powerful portions of Scripture in Genesis chapter 22 that I know of anywhere in God's Word. It is super powerful. It is super intense. And it really calls into our heart our willingness to live out our faith and to do what we know the Lord wants us to do. It's trials that test our faith. Now, these are not temptations. Trials come from the outside. Temptation comes from the inside. These are trials that we face that the Lord allows in our lives in order to test our faith. The testing of our faith produces that patience, all right? It's for our good. I heard the story of a boy who opened a cocoon where a little butterfly, a caterpillar, had made the cocoon and was wanting to help the butterfly get out of the cocoon, so he helped him out. And so the butterfly that was newly formed in the cocoon fell to the ground, and he kept saying, "Fly, fly." What he did not realize was it was the struggle of the butterfly getting out of the cocoon that gave his wings the strength to fly. And often, We run from trials, we run from tests, because we think that the only way is to remove ourselves from the pressure. But ladies and gentlemen, many times the testing of our faith produces patience, and we are to let patience have its perfect work in us, that we may be perfect or mature. Many of your modern versions say mature and complete, lacking in nothing. I want to suggest to you that all of us have testings. Can I tell you this? This scripture we're reading about today is Abraham's Super Bowl of tests. It's Super Bowl Sunday, and I want you to know we got Mahomes versus Brock Purdy. I don't know who you're pulling for. I'm not sure who I don't even know. I don't have a big dog in this fight, but man, it's supposed to be a game. We got this guy Kittle versus Kelsey, number 85 versus number 87. I like that guy Christian McCaffrey. That guy's a beast, man. That running back for the 49ers, it's amazing. You know what Walt told me today? Walt Daugherty, he told me, he said, look, I can tell you before the game starts what the score is. I said, what? He said, 0-0. It hadn't started yet. I said, come on, Walt. But let me tell you, I know we're going to have our college students, man, they're going to have a great time tonight. By the way, am I invited to that? I might come up here, man. Yeah, Kurt's giving me the thumbs up. Send me a text of what y'all are serving tonight. But anyway, the Super Bowl party tonight. Hey, I'm excited. I'm gonna watch it. I'm gonna see what's going on with the Super Bowl. Can I tell you something? The real Super Bowl is what we're reading about today. The real Super Bowl is about what this means for you and what this means for me in our lives. I want you to look at how Abraham handled the test of his life, and let's learn from him today. Look at Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. You follow along in your copy of God's Word, and I'll read from mine. I'm going to read 19 verses. And it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. And he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham, verse 3, rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off, and Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. Verse 7, but Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told them, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Praise God for this angel. Verse 11, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. That's the third time he said that. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horn. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, as the sand on which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. Verse 18, in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. An inscription in a cathedral clock reads, when as a child I laughed and wept, time crept. When as a youth I dreamed and talked, time walked. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. And later, as I older grew, time flew. Soon I shall find, while traveling on, time gone. All of us are at different places in our life. You can't go backwards and fix every mistake you've made. You can't go backwards and relive it. You've lived it out, and sometimes you've made good decisions, sometimes you've made bad decisions, and you may be dealing with consequences like I am, and decisions that I've made that weren't always following God's perfect plan. But let me say this, today is a new day. Today is a day when you can decide, am I willing to lay it all on the altar for the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, just to be clear, in verse 1, look at chapter 22, verse 1. Now, it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham. Can I tell you this? From the very beginning of this passage of Scripture, you can tell the Lord's real intention. His real intention was not to sacrifice, Isaac to not be sacrificed. As a matter of fact, even though you find him challenging Abraham to take his son and testing him to see if he would be willing to sacrifice him, we know from the scripture that is to come that Moses recorded that the text condemns child sacrifice, especially the practice associated with the worship of Moloch in Leviticus 18:21, Deuteronomy 12:31. In the law, God said that. So it's don't read into this that God is all about human sacrifice. It says in the very first verse that the Lord was doing this for what? To what, Abraham? To what? Test Abraham. So we see this. But yet we know in Abraham, we don't know everything that Abraham is thinking. By the way, the first words really come later in the text. You've got all this silence. There's all this, it's almost like the story. He tells them at the beginning what he wants them to do, and then the story is almost like in slow motion. We know that Abraham must be wondering, what in the world has the Lord asked me to do? But the whole structure of the narrative focuses so strongly on the Lord's request that the writer apparently sensed the need to dispel any suspense or suspicion about the Lord's intention. So we see that, okay? Now, there are three things and three little sections of this text that I like to give you a little handle to hold on to and give myself one to hold on to. As we think about Abraham's test of faith, we see, first of all, his steady faith. His steady faith is revealed. First of all, there's an abruptness to the test. You know, there's no preparation for the reader. Isaac has been born in chapter 21. Isaac is born to Sarah, and it seems like life is just exciting because God has kept his promise, and all of a sudden there's an abruptness to this test. There's no preparing the reader. He says, I want you to do three things. I want you to take your son, I want you to go to Moriah, and I want you to sacrifice him. There are three things. Now, the cost of what he is to sacrifice shows his faith. It shows his solid faith because it's his one and only son. In verse 2, it says this. It says in chapter 22, verse 2, he said, take now your son, your only son. And in my version, the second word son, the second time the word S-O-N, son, is used, it's in italics. It's a given. Because literally it says your only son means your only one. You remember Hagar and Ishmael had been sent away. They were not, he was not the son of the promise. Isaac was the son of the promise. So Isaac's the only one that this promise can be fulfilled in. And he says, take your son, your only son, or literally your only one. And he uses this phrase, your only one, in verse 2, in verse 12, and in verse 16. This is a phrase used of mourning for an only son in Amos 8:10. Okay? So in Amos 8:10, that word is used, and it's really used for a son, just like it would be here, all right? And he says, take Isaac. Now, he had grown to the point of going on this journey and bearing a load of wood. So he's not a little baby anymore. Matter of fact, the same word is used for him in my version. It says the lad, L-A-D. It's the same word that is used to describe Ishmael when he was sent off. Remember, he was a teenager. And so he's a young man. He's not a grown adult, but he's probably 15 years of age. And so he's got some age on him, but he's not an adult yet. All right, and this is Isaac. All right, in verses 5 and 12, it uses those words. And then they are to go to Moriah, Mount Moriah. It occurs only once more, but very importantly, as the site for Solomon's temple. Now, we're not going to go there, but I want you to write this verse down. 2 Chronicles 3:1. It is because of this verse that the Jewish tradition is that the Temple Mount in Jerusalem is what Mount Moriah is. So if you've ever been to Israel, those that went to Israel, remember we saw the Dome of the Rock there. You've seen pictures of Jerusalem, the Dome of the Rock. That is the place they believe, right there on that mount where Abraham offered Isaac, and that's where Solomon's temple was built. Of course, it was destroyed, and the Dome of the Rock is there now. But it's because of 2 Chronicles 3:1 that the Jews have the tradition that the Temple Mount is where this story in Genesis 22 takes place. Now, his obedience shows his faith. You're talking about his steady faith. Abraham's had his ups and downs. We've read about it. The Bible does not candy coat the biblical life. It gives you the full story. And when he went down to Egypt, he lied. He came back in worship. He repented. He had all kinds of ups and downs. But at this point in his life, at least for this moment, when God gives him this command, his quick obedience shows his faith. It says in verse 3, early in the morning. It shows the urgency of his obedience. Abraham demonstrates in our passage today a steady faith, okay? When you are facing your biggest test, the Super Bowl of all tests, it's very important that you have a steady faith and you think about the promises of God, what he will do for you and his ability. His statements to the servants show his faith. Look at verse 5 in our text. It says, and Abraham said to his young men, now get this, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship. Now watch this. And we will come back to you. Well, wait a minute. I thought the Lord said you're going to take him up there and sacrifice him. If you take him up there and sacrifice him, he ain't coming back. And yet, the steady faith of Abraham, he says to these people, he says, look, we're coming back. Now, don't just take that little interpretation as the gospel on that. Do you know that in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 17, Hebrews 11:17, maybe they put that on the screen. Hebrews 11:17 through 19 says this, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, Now watch this, verse 18. Of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding verse 19, that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Basically, Abraham, hey, there was no resurrection at this point. There has not been resurrection, and yet Abraham was steady in his faith at this tremendous trial and test that he said, look, we're coming back. And in Hebrews tells us, the writer of Hebrews tells us, that Abraham believed that even if he had died, God could have raised him, resurrected him, and he'd have come back with me. You're talking about faith. You're talking about a steady faith. Let me just say to you and to I, myself, faced with a trial, something we can hardly bear, and I don't know that it could be any more intense than this Super Bowl of faith for Abraham here, but faced with what I face and faced with what you face, let me say this. Have a steady faith. Let me tell you, God is in control of this world. And if God gives you instructions, God gives you his word and tells you in his word, thank the Lord in these days we have the written word of God. There's not instructions outside of this book, amen? But if we have instructions in this book, I don't care if the whole world thinks it's foolish. If it's in this book, you obey it, and God will meet the need. God will make a way. I remember when I was youth pastor, Brandon, here, in 1987, I went and heard Charles Stanley preach, and Charles Stanley said, if God tells you to run towards a brick wall and put your head down towards a brick wall, you run with all your might, and I believe right when you get there, God will make an opening. I'll never forget that. Old Dr. Bob Jones Sr. he had a message, and during the whole message, he would just yell out, do right! Do right if the stars fall. In other words, you obey God. You do right. I don't care if the stars fall, you do right. Well, Abraham, he showed his steady faith by his response to those servants there. And God gave us like a slow motion narrative. Doesn't this seem like it's a little bit in slow motion, verses 1 through 6? I mean, that goes through all this detail about him cutting the wood, about getting the donkeys and all this. And yet we know from the second verse that he's going to be sacrificing his son, and you just want to get down to find out what happens. And yet there's a slow motion narrative, and he methodically carries out what he needs to carry out. Abraham's test of faith, we see that his faith was steady. Now, Dr. Warren Wiersbe says this, it has been pointed out that Abraham believed God and obeyed him when he did not know where, because in Hebrews 11, you know, the story, Hebrews 11 is the hall of faith. And there's a lot in there about Abraham in Hebrews 11. He said, get up and go out of the Ur of the Chaldees. And he said, I'm going to send you to a place you don't know where to go. So Abraham, he believed God when he didn't know where, Hebrews 8:11. He believed God when he didn't know when, because in Hebrews 11:9 it says he didn't know when he was going to get to the promised land. He was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And so he was a sojourner. He didn't know when it was going to be fulfilled. Then he didn't know how it was going to be fulfilled. God said, Sarah's going to have a baby. And all those years she was barren. He didn't know how it could be done, but he had faith that God was could do it. And then he didn't know why. And this is the passage about why. How in the world could I sacrifice Isaac and see God's hand fulfill what he has promised? Well, we see in these first verses a seasoned Abraham who says, you know what? I'm going to obey God. And we see in him that his faith was steady. Number two, not only was it steady, but his faith was spoken. In verse 7, but Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? So Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father. The fire and the wood are here, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And in verse 8, you see a key word in this text. In verse 8, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. So the two of them went together. He spoke that promise. He spoke that word. His faith was voiced, okay? Isaac said to him, my father, I see all this stuff that we have for the offering, but there's no lamb for the offering. And he says, God will provide. This is the key word in the passage. He will provide for himself the lamb. By the way, the apostolic father saw this as a hint toward the Lord providing Jesus, his only son, as a sacrifice. What is the sacrifice needed for our sin and your sin? You know what it is? The Lord will provide. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. God will provide. Okay? And I think about the importance of his spoken faith, the importance of speaking and claiming and understanding and believing these promises from God. You know, the Bible says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life even unto death. So sometimes we put our faith and our trust in the promises of God, and we need to vocalize those, and we need to put our heart upon those verses. I remember when old Tebow was here. Remember his eye black? He put on there, was it Philippians 4:13? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Bible says that my God shall supply all my needs, all your needs, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. This is the promises of God. In 1 Corinthians, the Bible says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able, but will, with the temptation, provide a way of escape. What's the promise? God will provide a way. God will provide a way of escape. When Jesus was tempted, he spoke the word of God. He spoke the word of God. And he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The Bible says this, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. The promises of God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. These are promises that God gives us. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So church family, I would just say this. I would say that Abraham, he had a steady faith, but you know what? He had a spoken faith. And we have the word of God, and as we hide it in our heart, we hide God's word in our heart that we might not sin against him. We hide God's word in our heart that we might meditate on it day and night. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, the Bible says, and then thou shalt have good success. But we acknowledge the promises of God, the truthfulness of God, the provision of God, his providing for us, and then we speak it, all right? So you have his faith was steady, his faith was spoken. Here's the last thing. His faith was seen. His faith was seen. In verse 9, the Bible says he bound Isaac, which, by the way, Isaac, the story is about Abraham and his faith, and yet there's a little bit of a message here about Isaac, his willingness to go along with this. As a teenage boy, I'm sure he was swifter. I think his dad was over 100 at this point. And so I'm sure that when Isaac was walking up there and he said, look, there is no lamb, there's fire and there's rope and there's wood and there's a knife. As things got settled in, Isaac may have been able to get away from his dad, and yet the Bible says he bound him. It says something about Isaac's faith as well. And when you think about God the Father and his son on the cross, You think about Jesus, listen, willingly going to that cross and taking the sins of the world. Well, his faith was seen, all right? It was seen. It's interesting that he faced this alone. He's up on that mountain. Remember, he left the servants down. He said, the lad and I will go up there. Abraham had to go up there. And folks, it's great. It's so wonderful to live our life in community. That's one of the reasons we love our church, because we can lean on one another. We have fellowship with one another. The Bible calls that koinonia in the New Testament. It's a fellowship it's the fellowship of the gospel. There's nothing in the world like it. But sometimes there are some battles that we have to face alone. And here was Abraham facing this situation. What was he going to do, all right? In verse 10, the scripture says this, and Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. It shows the purpose of the raised knife. It was to slay his son. But thank the Lord, verse 11, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, and he said, here am I. Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son. He meets the need. I've seen this depicted in pictures and stuff. Here's Abraham with his son bound on the altar, the wood under him ready for it to be lit. And here's Abraham with the knife. And the picture that I'm remembering that I've seen has him like this, with a knife like this. And it's almost like you know he's at the point where he's about to bring that down. And God says, wait, stop. Can I tell you this? The Lord is never late. He's not always early. By the way, at our greatest time of need is when the Lord shows up. You know, in Hebrews 4:16 it says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Listen, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He does not give the grace until there's that time of need, and we see that in this passage. And he says in verse 12, the angel said, and he said, do not lay your hand on the lad nor anything to him, for now I know. It's a sure sign that this was a test. The angel says, for now I know. This was a test. For now I know that you fear me, because you have not withheld from me your son. This is the evidence of Abraham's faithfulness. Verse 13, then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket. How about that? The Lord will provide. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham, boy, I tell you what, the author rips through that verse quick, doesn't he? Man, I tell you what, if you're Abraham and you've got that knife raised and he's probably shaking, and the angel says, wait a minute, Abraham, stop, don't harm the lad. And he said, he looks over there and sees that lamb. I tell you what, that lamb got sacrificed quick. He went over there, that ram got, he got, he went, the Bible says, so Abraham went and took the ram and offered up as a burnt offering instead of his son. Boy, that's a half of a verse, but it's a quick, there's a lot of stuff that was lived out right there. But then look at verse 14, and Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And then God says, blessing I will bless you in verse 17, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is on the seashore. Abraham's son was spared. God's son was not. In verse 13, it says this, he took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering. The very end of this verse, for a burnt offering, and look at that little phrase. Circle that phrase at the end of verse 13. Instead of his son. The ram went instead of his son. Well, Abraham's son was spared, God's son was not. In Romans 8:32, it says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? The Lord is the one responsible for the appearance of that ram. He made a substitute for Abraham. He's going to provide for you, but just be reminded, when the lovely Lord Jesus went to the cross, there was no substitute for him. He took our place. He took our place. Well, then in verses 18 and following, you see the blessings of the Lord on Abraham. It's delineated there. He talks about the theme of the blessing for all nations. That's what we're studying in this multiply class, is that the message of the Bible is that God's intention from the very beginning is that all the nations of the earth would worship him and praise him. And he wants to use us, church, to get the message to the world. Now, Matthew's in the New American Commentary says this: obedience is critical to the success of Abraham's descendants in establishing Canaan as their homeland. In Abraham, Israel has its example, as does the church, who is the father of us all, it says in Romans 4:16. So Abraham is our example. He was the example. His obedience, listen, this is where we're ending right now. This is the message of this. Abraham was the Jew's example of faith. He had a faith that was steady, had a faith that was spoken, he had a faith that was lived out or seen, okay? But it's also our example. He's the example of faith for us. And as Matthew says, it's the obedience that's critical to the success of Abraham and the descendants that will follow. Here's some lessons about faith that are timeless. Number one, faith obeys completely the Word of God. Number two, faith surrenders the best to God, holding nothing back. We don't give the Lord the scraps of our life. We give him the first fruits of our life. We give him our all, okay? Number three, faith waits on the Lord to provide all one's needs. They that wait upon the Lord, Abraham had to wait. He waited to the last second. He held that knife. He waited to the last second. Here's the fourth thing. Faith does not demand explanations, but faith rests on promises. Faith rests on promises. I think about the fact that it's the obedience of Abraham that shows his faith. And the Bible says this: he that hath my commands and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. We get more understanding of the ways and the knowledge of God as we obey the Lord. So I don't know what the test is for you. A little boy, you have your prized possession. A little boy had a bag of marbles. Man, those were his prized possessions. And a little girl had a bag of candy. And the girl said to the boy, if you'll give me all the candy, all the marbles, I'll give you all my candy. And the boy said, he looked at that candy and said, man, that looks good. He said, but I love these marbles. He said, no way, I can't do that. He got to thinking about it. He said, man, I want that candy. So he came back to her and he said, all right, if you'll give me all the candy, I'll give you all the marbles. And she said, okay. Well, he ran back inside and took out his prize marble. He put it under his pillow. And then he put all of them back in there and tied it up. Went out there, okay, here's all the marbles. The girl said, here's all the candy. And that night, she slept as sound as she's ever slept with those marbles that she had. And he stayed awake all night wondering if she gave him all the candy. You say, Pastor, I've been dabbling in this Christianity. And I tend to give the Lord some things, but there's some things I'm holding back. And I wonder, how come I'm not having victory? How come I'm not having victory in my life? It may be that you haven't given Jesus all the marbles. Boy, if I have a message for these sweet young people right here, Man, I'm so thankful that you have a youth pastor and leaders that are telling you the truth. Can I tell you this? I have no excuse because I had that. I had no excuse because I had that. I had people loving me, calling me, encouraging me, begging me to live my life for Christ, teaching me God's word, wanting to pour it into me. We had a blast doing it too. We had the most fun. Listen, you never live life until you live it for Jesus. And I had that because I had people that cared about me, and I had a mama that cared about me. And I'm so thankful you have that. And I will just tell you, as your pastor, you followed Jesus. You'll be glad you did. I've never known someone who gave Jesus all the marbles and regretted it. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.